Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
That is, I seek protection with God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM radio listening audience, Ramadan Mubarak and blessed month of fasting. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, where Mark Shahid and Quran Shakir examine the many ways to navigate Ramadan in the courtship and marriage life. Being a learning lab, we learn together, sharing lessons that, inshallah, lead to a beautiful and memorable wedding day and a fulfilling married life full of faith, trust, affection, peace, and joy. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. While we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, please share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. To do that, all that you need to do is send a text, make a post, invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And I am waiting for my co-host, Mark Shahid, to join me in the studio. And while I'm waiting for him, I am going to go ahead and share with you the tradition that we have had, which is to go over what we covered the week before. And as you know, during this month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we have been focused on Ramadan, navigating it, and navigating courtship and marriage and the many blessings and many opportunities that are afforded to us during this month of Ramadan. This is a unique time for us as the 5 o'clock hour Eastern Standard Time, 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, and 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time is early for us to host our program. But alhamdulillah, we are doing it during this month of Ramadan so that all of you who are fasting and honoring what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as a month to reboot and recheck ourselves, that you will have time, inshallah, to also go and break your fast. And inshallah, next week, we will resume at our regular time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to having you joining us again next week at that time. On last week, as we were navigating this concept of Ramadan and marriage and courtship, we looked at the fact that Ramadan can give more diversified communication and conversation between the husband and wife. Ramadan, as you know, is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran on the heart of our dear Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, of 1,400 years ago. And in doing so, Allah has given us the opportunity as his servants to have this book that we can now use 1,400 years later as a wonderful guidebook for how we live our lives and our opportunities to be Allah's faithful servants and honorable worshipers. So in looking at diversified communication and conversation between the husband and the wife, we looked at the positive effect that Ramadan can have on the relationship. And Allah relates in the Quran and in Revelation concerning communication, he says that we are having this communication with him. This is our opportunity now to interact with Allah. The fast of Ramadan is a personal fast. No one really knows if you are fasting or not. Only Allah knows, because we can go around people and pretend to be fasting, but Allah is the best of knowing. He knows when we're fasting. So the fast of Ramadan is a relationship between the faster and his creator, between the faster and Allah. So we are having a communication with Allah. He is talking to us. He is revealing to us some things we did not know about ourselves. He is talking with us as we also talk with him, and we ask Allah for his mercy. We ask Allah for his forgiveness. We ask Allah to guide us beyond the passions that burn within us. And so that communication that we have with Allah, we also have the opportunity to speak with him through his book, the Quran. So Allah talks to us and gives us messages through the Quran itself. And when he is talking and communicating, he is the sender and we are the recipients of what is being said. We are now in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Actually, inshallah, we're in the last day or two of Ramadan. So we are now in the 29th day of Ramadan. And in this 29th day, last night was an odd night. So for those of us who were seeking Laylatul Qadr, that was our an odd night that we would spend that night in prayer, in reading Quran, in dhikr, in remembrance of Allah, in doing good deeds, in studying and reading and getting closer to Allah with the hope and the prayer that as the heavens open up and the angels descend, that those angels will write us amongst Allah's faithful servants and decree, because it's Laylatul Qadr, Qadr meaning decree, and will decree for us what our year ahead will look like. And that's a part of what happens during this time. So as I was saying, on last week, when we were looking at this communication that we're having with Allah and ourselves, we identified and acknowledged that communication is an element of culture. And to be a refined human being, you must be cultured. You have to have culture. And our culture is how we eat, how we talk, how we dance and interact, how we dress. All of that's a part of our culture. And so the Quran gives us the opportunity then to establish our way of having our own culture, of expressing ourselves through the Quran. And we get the message and the examples of how Allah wants us to be through the examples that he gives us in the Quran. And Allah shows us how to show love, how to show disagreement, how to have dialogue with one another in the Quran. He says to us in Surah 55, Ayat 4, that he has taught him how to talk and understand. Allah has created us with function to communicate. So Allah tells us in 55:4 that he has taught us how to talk and how to talk to him and how to understand him. We also looked at Surah 33, Ayat 70 to 71, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, guard your duty to Allah and speak words straight to the point, right. He will adjust your deeds for you and will forgive you your sins. Whosoever obeys Allah and his messenger, he verily has gained a signal victory. In this ayat, when we talk about communication and we look at how Allah communicates with us and we look at this idea of communication, here Allah tells us that if we guard our duty to Allah and if we speak words that are straight to the point, honest, right, direct words, that Allah will make our deeds and our conduct whole. He will make them sound. And he will forgive us of any sins that we have. So in this communication, then we have the opportunity then to communicate with Allah. And Allah says, this is how you do it. So we're looking at communicating. We have to be those who are direct. We have to be those who are honest. And we have to speak a word straight to the mark, speak a word honest words, direct and straight, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for us to guide our deeds and to forgive our sins. And he says, whosoever obeys Allah and his messenger, he verily has gained a signal victory. So the Quran, by referring to this ingratitude of the children of Israel, warns the Muslims so as to say, refrain from adopting the same attitude towards Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. Have good etiquette to carry forward into your relationships. Be those who are honest. Be those who are direct. Be those who speak a word straight to the mark. And Allah will, in that case, forgive us our sins, and he will guide our actions. So in looking at this, on last week, we were looking at the fact that listening is an art of accurately perceiving all that is being communicated. That is an art. And so if we're speaking a word straight to the mark, this is an art that Allah has given us. Listening is an art. Listening is different from hearing. Listening is a conscious act, and hearing is unconscious. It's just something you do because you have ears, inshallah. If you have ears, Allah has granted you the ability to hear. But to listen is something you do from your heart, and that is something that you open your ears up and your heart up to hear what a person is saying. And we also looked at the fact that in listening, and we've talked about this before, there are five styles of listening. So we want to be the ones who are given the best in listening, as Allah has told us to be those who are best in communicating, and that best in communicating is speaking words straight to the mark. Now, to be best in listening means that we are empathetic. We put ourselves in the shoes of the speaker and hear what the speaker is saying. That's how we can listen, inshallah. But the other part of listening, we don't want to have any part of that, and that would be ignoring. We don't want to be those who do that, pretending to be listening, or selective, only hearing what you want to hear. We also want to be those we don't want to be those who only hear the words, but we don't hear the person, hear the tone, hear their body, hear their faces as they're speaking. That is a better listener. So that is a part of what we want to be also. And when Allah talked about Prophet Dawood, we made his kingdom strong and gave him wisdom and decisive speech. And that is in Surah Sa'd, Ayat 20. So decisive speech, again, here's communication that we are given. Decisive speech, Allah says to us. That means that we have to be clear in what we're communicating. And in the decisive speech that he has given Prophet Dawood is an example, that decisive speech is the ability to hear someone and speak words that are honest, straight, and direct. And it's our dear Prophet, peace be upon him, said the best decisions are those that are firmly resolved. And so when we speak, we should speak from that space of decisions we have made that we have considered before we let them flow from our tongues. That's decisive speech. In Surah 94, Ayah 8, Allah says to us, and to your Lord turn all of your attention. And to your Lord turn all of your attention. Alhamdulillah. So if we're being those who are listening, then we're giving our attention to Allah. That is not something that distracts us when we hear something that is not what we want to hear. And we're making sure that when we speak, we're speaking with our attitude adjusted, thinking about Allah. And then we have those who listen well to what is said and follow the best of it. They are the ones whom Allah has guided. They are the people of intelligence. Allah tells us that in Surah 39, Ayat 18. So those who listen well to what is said and follow the best of it, they are the ones whom Allah has guided. They are the people of intelligence, and that's who we want to be, the people of intelligence. We want to be those who listen well, inshallah. And I am going to give just a little bit more about what we talked about last week, and then I think I see my partner here. Let me bring him in. Brother Mark Shaheed, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam, Ramadan Mubarak to you, Karan Shakir, and to IWDM radio listening audience. Alhamdulillah, I'm listening to the excellent overview that you've given. I mean, very, very detailed. As last week, we looked at the positive effect that actually Ramadan have in terms of our communication between the husband and the wife, and also in terms of those who are aspiring to be married. It should have a profound effect on that communication and increasing our communication skills for better communication. So you're doing an excellent job. So you can go ahead and complete that, and then we'll look at in terms of what it is that we want to do in terms of concluding this series and the positive the impact that actually Ramadan can have in the sacred institution of marriage and also courtship and all some of the things that we've talked about. But also, you know, as we close this 2023, Ramadan 2023, we want to take a little look at Laila Taqadr. And also, as we end this, when we end this Ramadan, looks like tomorrow will be, I mean, tonight will be the conclusion. It's a strong, very, very, very strong pronostication that the new Hilal will be sighted tonight. And if so, that means the ensuing, the incoming month of Shawwal will be in and Ramadan will be over. So that means that once again, we will have the Eid al-Fitr on Salatul Jummah day. And also, we'll talk about Eid al-Fitr, and we're going to talk also about the Fitr, the Eid al-Fitr in terms of reoccurring happiness, returning back to the original nature. So please continue on, Karan. You're doing an excellent job, as always. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Well, I'm just going to wrap it up with these final things about communication and look at just these communication messages that we get in the Quran. So this, dear listeners, I would recommend that you write them down and go back and look at them. So one is that Allah tells us in the Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 159, do not be rude in your speech. And he says, so by mercy from Allah, you were lenient with them. And if you had been rude and harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them and consult them in the matter. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon him. So that's Surah 3, Ayat 159. That's the command. Don't be rude. That's the example we got. Don't be rude in speech. And then in Surah 3, Ayat 134, we get this method of communicating to restrain your anger. Allah says, who stand in the cause of Allah during ease and hardship, or who restrain anger and who pardon the people, and Allah loves the doers of good. So that's 3:134. And as we continue to look at this idea of communicating, Allah tells us also in 7:199 that to forgive others for their mistakes. He says, show forgiveness, enjoin what is good, and turn away from the ignorant. And then in Surah 20, Ayat 44, he says, and speak to him with gentle speech that perhaps he may be reminded of fear of Allah. So speak to people mildly. We should not be those who are yelling and screaming and speaking with harsh words. Allah says, speak mildly. And then in 49:11, we are instructed to not ridicule. He says, O you who have believed, let not a people ridicule another people. Perhaps they may be better than them. Nor let women ridicule other women. Perhaps they may be better than them. And do not insult one another. And do not call each other by offensive name, nicknames. Wretched is the name of disobedience after one's faith. And whoever does not repent, then it is those who are the wrongdoers. And then Allah tells us in 17:23, do not say a word of disrespect to your parents. He says, say not to them, oof, and do not repel them, but speak to them a noble word. And I'm going to, I have several more, but I'm just going to do two more and then we're going to get to our program. One is that we do not break our promises. That's 2177. I'm not going to read that one out loud. And then the other one is 4135, where Allah tells us to take a stand, speak up, speak out for what's just and what is right. And avoid assumptions, because assumptions lead to sin, he says. So we have to be those who try not to do that. Do not backbite, Allah tells us in 49:12. And then let me find one more before we go. Practice what you preach. And that's 244, and I'm going to stop there. He says, do you order righteousness of the people and forget yourselves while you recite the scripture? Then will you not reason? So we have to be those who speak a word that is just and right, and we honor the words we speak. So be those who do that as well. And, of course, our mutual consultation, we are given that command as well. So I'm going to pause there, Mark, because it's a lot that we covered in that little 60 minutes last week, but alhamdulillah, it was
good. Yes. Alhamdulillah. I want to say that the praise and thanks belongs to God. Always, first and foremost, I want to thank Quran Shakir and me for being a little tardy today. What I've heard in terms of the overview, excellent. This Quran did some research and went into the Quran, and all those ayats, those instructing signs, are very, very important in the communication. You know, Quran, you know, as you were referencing many of the ayats in the Quran, it just lets us know how important communication is in the sacred institution of marriage, and being conscious and regardful of our Lord in terms of getting closer in communication with our Lord, how he guides us in our relationship. Keep it a healthy, harmonious relationship. These are instructing signs, but they're also messages for us. And the more it is that we adhere to the word of revelation, the better our relationships can actually be. And so even in the courtship phase, the conversation should be in terms of looking at the importance of communication. It should be a better form of communication, especially in the blessed month of Ramadan, which is very important. You know, this leads us to what many across the country just observed for a few nights ago. We don't know exactly the night of later Takata that is often referred to as the night of power. I like to say the night of empowerment, the night of empowerment. And this is a very, very special night that is, we do know in the last 10 nights, it often is said on the odd night, but exact night that it is, no one knows in regards to that. And, you know, we say, mashallah, that was God's will. Because it was, as the narrative goes, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the report that we had, that he was on his way to the masjid to make that announcement, and there were two that was actually in an entanglement, feuding or whatever, and it caught the attention of the Prophet, and he got. So we know that everything happens by Allah's leave in regards to that. And so oftentimes many will spend much time the last 10 nights there at the masjid. And I know our observance, that was the 27th night, which was this past Monday here at Al-Mu'minun. And praise be to Allah that my wife and I, we did spend the whole of the night. There were other believers in all. And want to say that what it is that Allah has said, that the angel and the Holy Spirit descended this message on the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam Muhammad said, yes, it was descended, but that was ascension to. So where did it ascend? He said that it ascended to the intellect. It ascended to the intellect. And we know that when the Quran is taken in by the intellect and is properly understood, and the application of the Quran, it makes for a better life and also the destiny for human beings, God-conscious human beings. And we saw that in the life example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we also had the model community life. This all came from out of the Quran, coming to one man. And at the time that he lived, there were a few that were considered as sahabas or companions. And now today, in the 21st century, we're right at close to 2 billion Muslims across the world. Imagine that, close to 2 billion Muslims across the world, having a very humble beginning, coming from the final revelation for all of humanity for all times. This is a powerful, powerful message. I was teaching the Halakha session. I've been teaching the Halakha session for the last, I would say, at least 2 months, maybe 2.5 months now, and was mentioning about the book. And there's a book that's been out for many, many years where it talks about the 100 world most influential men in world history. The 100 most influential men in world history. And Prophet Muhammad was named number one. Now, this is not by a Muslim author, so I want you to think that there is a biasness that's there. And there happened to be a brother that was in the Arabic class at the time, heard me mention that, and he also said that he had got the latest publication of it. And still, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still seen, even today, as the number one most influential man in world history, not United States history, world history. This says a lot about the Prophet. This says a lot about the Quran, in which it descended upon his heart. But it ascended to his intellect, and also Allah not only giving him that revelation, but teaching him the hikmah, the wisdom, the logic of the Quran, and also the application, the demonstration of the Quran, very, very important. And then ultimately this comes to us. And it has the power to affect positively every aspect of our life. As you just heard Quran Shakir talk about all the ayats in the Quran that's dealing with communication. And there are similar ayats in the Quran that are given to us in terms of helping us in regards to the sacred institution of marriage and how to preserve the marriage and all of this. And then also, if it's inevitable, can't be helped, that even if there's divorce, we just read about that Surah 65 of the Quran, most recently in the Jews. So this is very, very important that Allah gives us instructions and directions and corrections in our life in this final revelation, Quran. And I, wanted to make sure that we had some commentary on this, in terms of actually seeking that night of empowerment. And I know it's called the night of power, but this is the night of empowerment and what the Quran has done to empower our lives and even in the sacred institution of marriage. And also it should be an empowerment to those who have aspiration. The inspiration that we get, it brings about the aspiration to want to experience the sacred institution of marriage. So with that, I want to say to our radio listeners, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, And you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage, a special Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that all throughout the month of Ramadan is the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We have looked at the positive impact, the positive influence that this blessed month of Ramadan has had on these two sacred institutions, the sacred institution of family life and the sacred institution of marriage life that is to produce the sacred institution of family life, how it has impacted in a positive way. So with that, Quran, I'm going to turn it back over to you and going to ask our radio listening audience if you have any questions in terms of anything that we may say tonight. And we do want to talk about Eid al-Fitr, as it looks like that this will be the last day of fasting for 2023. And I just want to just say that sometimes in this blessed month of Ramadan, fasting can be 30 days. However, it can also be 29 days. I was told that the birth of the new Hilal was saw sometime, was suspected last night. And so it's a strong, very, very strong possibility that it will be visible here in the continental USA tonight after sunset. And if that's the case, we will only fast 29 days this month. And for those, you know, that want to know more about that, you need to study the Hijra calendar. You will find that you will have 6 months that will be 30 days. You'll have 6 months that's 29 days. And when you add that up, it'll always come out to 354 days a year in the Hijra calendar, an average of 29 and one-half days per month, which meaning that we always have to wait till the 30th night to make a determination of, be able to determine, I should say, now we don't make a determination, Allah makes a determination, but to see how it's determined whether or not we will have 30 days of fasting. Just for example, that if in fact that the new Hilal would not be sighted tonight, that means that we will have tomorrow to fast, which would be the 30th day, and no month in the Hijra calendar, I repeat, no month in the Hijra calendar can go over 30 days. And we can attribute that to Allah in terms of the ayats He's given to us in regards to the sun and moon following accurate courses. As we read the Quran, Allah says they follow accurate courses. They don't deviate from those courses. And so if we watch the waxing and the waning of the moon, we will find that we'll see a full moon at the halfway point of every Ramadan. Oh, it's beautiful just to study that and how it becomes a guide, you understand, for our way of life. And, you know, the sun in terms of for our salat, our prayers. Just wanted to say that, Quran, I think I said enough. I want to give it back to you and get some commentary on later Takata and all. And, of course, you know, it has to be said, what better way to spend later Takata than with your spouse, whether you do it at the masjid, the Islamic Center, or maybe you do it at home or what, but that's a beautiful experience to actually have, as it is the night of empowerment. Back to you, Quran Shakir.
Most definitely, and I love it because what happens, this, I love the word empowerment that you're using here, because we are empowered by that service to Allah. We, just when we came on the air, we mentioned Laylatul Qadr and the fact that last night was the 29th night that we would have observed this odd night. And thank you for the story behind that, because I didn't mention that to the audience, so that was good that we got that. And it is, when Allah talks about Laylatul Qadr in the Quran in Surah 94, he talked about this, when I'm describing it to children, you know, I
I describe it and they say, wow, that sounds magical. That's what the children would say. That sounds magical when you think about the heavens open up and all the angels.
Excuse me, Fran. Excuse me.
Yes.
I think it's Surah 97.
I'm sorry, 97, yes.
Then 90, you might have still had 94 on there because you gave an ayah in terms of
yeah.
give your attention to Allah, and I think it comprises only 8 ayahs. If I'm correct, I could stand to be
mm-hmm.
correct, but Surah 97 is right after 96 when we know the first 5 ayahs that was given to the prophet and later to Kana, the first, and 97 follows that. And that would
yes.
be later. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that. Yes. But it's in that Allah says the heavens open up and the angels come down. And when those angels come down, they are charting all of the prayers we're praying. And as we pray, they're praying. Ameen, ameen, ameen. They pray for us too. As we're praying, they are praying for us. And Allah, it is said that Allah asked the angels, how did you find my servants? And they would say, I found them in service to you, Allah, praying. And Allah says, then it is granted. The things we pray for is granted. And when we look at the beauty of Laylatul Qadr, Allah says that one night of serving him in this month of Ramadan is worth more than 1,000 months. And if you look at this, 1,000 months, that's 83 years and 4 months. But Allah says more than 1,000 months. So that's the ceiling. That's where it begins at that 83.4 years. And it can go more because that's what the revelation said, more than 1,000 months. So imagine the beauty of serving Allah in one night and how it could go like that. And then last week I talked about how I broke it down to how 1 second can equal 23 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That means I've been telling people, oh, we get in there. Even if you get in there for 10 minutes, for 1 hour, whatever it is you can do, get in there and give it. So 1 hour would be valued at 9 hours of serving Allah. I mean, 9 days of serving Allah.
Yeah.
Imagine that. So why wouldn't we seek the Laylatul Qadr? Seek the blessings that Allah has for us. And as couples doing that, then and let that blessings of Allah pour down on us such that the year ahead is charged with many blessings. And we can have this energy like we recharge our phones, we recharge ourselves, we charge our relationship, recharge our commitment with Allah, which also pours over into all other relationship. So Laylatul Qadr to me is just the ultimate after we have, you know, made that investment of those first 20 days of fasting, then we take those last 10 to reap the real benefits of the soul emerging victorious. As Allah tells us in the Quran that we will be victorious and that he says, "Aslahab mukramun," successful indeed are the believers. So our success is guaranteed.
Yes.
And then he gives us a formula for that success. That's in Surah 23. But to know that our success is guaranteed is truly a blessing. So alhamdulillah for that. And to get to the Eid where the recurring happiness is there, you know, after we have fasted and made the investment, then it is not limited. It's recurring. It keeps happening over and over again. That's truly a blessing.
Oh, yes. Alhamdulillah. No, that's very well said. Quran. Alhamdulillah. You know, when we think about this is it's referred to as a blessed month. As a blessed month. In addition to Allah giving that prescription is prescribed, but it's also inscribed in the nature. What do we mean by inscribed in the nature? It's inscribed in the nature that we naturally want to know our Lord and Creator, and then we want to serve our Lord and Creator. And we want to be as close to our Lord and Creator as we possibly can be. So to actually know God, when we study the Quran, we are reading the Quran, and, you know, it's not by accident. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was guided in the organizational structure of the Quran. So just what it is that I've said, that it's inscribed in us to want to know our Lord and Creator, we can look at the first surah of the Quran. Allah says to us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with God's name, with Allah's name, the most merciful benefactor, ar-Rahman, the most merciful redeemer, ar-Rahim. These are the two attributes that Allah wants us to know him by. And it's like a reintroduction, because this is revelation. So it's revealing to the human being who became unconscious of who God is. So when we say that this was prescribed, fasting was prescribed, but it's also inscribed on the fit, the very nature of the human being. Even though he may have become unconscious, Allah is bringing a consciousness to the human being when they read the Quran. And now you understand, in this one ayat, it's just loaded with so much information in terms of these two mercies. And then also to get to know Allah even more so, after learning that he's the most merciful benefactor, the most merciful redeemer, and then how he redeems the human being. We reading the whole of Revelation, and we have maybe one more juice to actually read for the completion of the Quran. This is what redeems the human being when we become unconscious, when Adam, who was deceived, didn't intentionally disobey his Lord and Creator. And this is one of the things that when we look at this blessed month of Ramadan, to be the best servant is to be the most obedient servant, as we are conscious and regardful of Allah, and the byproduct of that we will be able to gain more in terms of self-management, self-control, self-discipline, self-restraint. That becomes a byproduct, being more conscious and regardful of Allah. And then we see that Rabi'a al-Amin, the Imam, have said that not only does Allah create the life, but he nourishes it, he sustains it, he guards it, he protects it, and then he evolves that life. All the animated life that Allah has created, he does that for all of this animated life, including the human being. And then the next ayat, Maliki Yawmiddin, that we know that Allah is with Malik, sometimes is king, sometimes is seen as ruler, sometimes we see is judge, but oftentimes we say master, but he's the sole master of the day of judgment, or the soul master of the day of religion. This is very, very important to know that there will be a master or a judge, and Allah will be that soul master of the day of judgment. He doesn't need any help. And we got many, many ayats that he knows the secrets of the heart. He knows that which is concealed, that which is revealed. And so it leads us to where I really want to go with this. Yeah, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. That now, after learning these three things that Allah has inscribed upon the fitra, the original nature, that we can say that it is only you, Allah, that we worship. It is only you that we serve. It is only you that we work for. And it is only you that we seek help, aid, assistance from, for. And then the next one is ending our surah to Mustaqim. It says the help, the aid, the assistance that we are seeking from Almighty God, Allah, and that is guidance to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is very, very, very important. And the next, Sirat al-Ladina and Amta alayhim, it gets even more specific in terms of that guidance. It is a guidance to the path of those whom which you have favored. You have favored. You see, and Allah has truly favored us in terms with this blessed month of Ramadan because of the various benefits that it is we get. We have guidance from it, and still we'll be getting those benefits for as long as we remain consciousness of what it actually has brought to us. Oh, you know, Quran, this is such a beautiful thing. It's a recurring happiness, you know, as you say. It's a recurring. Anything that starts with R-E, that means re, it means it's happening again, but it takes us back to the future. So when we say that this fasting in the Siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan was prescribed, it was also inscribed. It was inscribed on the fitra, you know, to want to know God, to want to worship and to serve God, you understand, in the best way, which means that we want to be working. Imam said, up means to also work for God. And if we need help and assistance and aid, and it's only you that we're seeking that from, and we're seeking the guidance because Allah said in the Quran, when it descended, he's telling us there's two things that the Quran brought. It brought the al-huda, the guidance, and it brought the al-furqan. It brought down, you understand, criteria to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. And you know, Quran today, when we see people that we have nominated and elected and put into positions and all of this, and people who ultimately have to make political decisions in terms of policy, we see that there's a lack of guidance, and to be able to distinguish between right and wrong, man has come up with their law, and it has bypassed, understand, the Sharia law, the law of what it is that Almighty God, Allah has established, and they have transgressed boundaries. Oh, this is beautiful when we really understand this. So we are returning back the innocence, the purity, of the guidance that the original nature that's been inscribed and prescribed for us to make that return back to that. There's no way that we can go in individually, even as a married couple, even those who have been inspired and aspiring to undertake the sacred institution of marriage. There's no way we can go in and come out the same way. It's like it is a rebirth, and we have to look at that as a rebirth, that we actually, as Christian brothers and sisters, that we're born again, we're new all over again because of the empowerment of the Quran. While we fast in the month of Ramadan, where in our reading, we are feeding and fasting on this divine revelation, that's designed to give us the instruction for the construction of the best marriage life that we can possibly have, the best family life, the best community life that we could possibly have. Oh, I could say so much. I'm so fired up. This has been the best Ramadan, Grant. You can probably hear it in my voice. Sound like I want to give a already, and I haven't been asked to give a cook bar. So I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, And you're listening to the special edition of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab in this blessed month of Ramadan. This is the last edition, and there's strong prognostication that this will be the last of the fasting. This is a strong prognostication that the new Hilal will be sighted later tonight in some part of the country, and if that is accurate, and so the next day will be Eid al-Fitr and the new month, Shawwal. And I want to say to our radio listening audience, those of you who are new Shahadas, you cannot and you should not fast on Eid day. Even if you have days to make up, you cannot and you should not fast on Eid day. You wait until afterwards, and then you make those days up. And also, if you choose to do an additional 6 days for additional blessings, you have to make up the days that you miss. And Allah is the best knower. You know, and Allah knows best in terms of you making those days up. And if you choose to do so, and that is not foreign, that is not obligatory, that is if that's what you choose to do. I thought I would say that. But I knew Shahadas and all. Back to you, Quran. This is a recurring happiness, and your soul is very, very, very much at peace and is pleased with this, because the soul, in terms of the nurturing and the cultivating of the soul, spells a success in terms of getting al-haq, getting the truth, the reality, as in our reading and feeding. All of this month, the soul has been just taking it in, just like a sponge. And so the soul should be calm. We should be calm in all what it has brought, a tranquil feeling over us as believers. And it should be personified in our relationships and say, whoa, wow, we want to keep this here going. We don't want to lose this feeling. And we can do that. We can do that. We have been empowered to be able to do that. The Quran has the power to empower you to be able to do it. If we can do it for 30 days, 29, 30 days, then we can continuously do it if we choose to, those aspects of fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Actually, in our Quranic reading conference, Quran, it was brought up by Dr. Medina Waikil, who I know you know very well, everything, that we should not let this die. And we're looking at tomorrow, early in the morning, in terms of taking sure if we want to do it once or twice a week, maybe once on the weekend, in terms of reading the juice, and also after doing that, having the commentary. We've had excellent commentary in this blessed month of Ramadan, so that we be continuously feeding in our reading of the Quran, doing it in the way. So, alhamdulillah, I just wanted to say that. Back to you, Quran. Shakir.
I love everything you said, and it's a wonderful reminder. And I just want to say I'm glad you made that notice also that you, the sister, you cannot fast. You should not fast. It is forbidden for Muslims to fast on Eid al-Fitr. So you must obey, and that's a big part of what this whole Ramadan has been about, obedience.
Obedience.
And, you know,
that's right. That's right. Say it, Karen, it's about being obedient.
Yes, I was telling some students, you know, like sometimes in the morning, you know, you say, oh, I don't want to have suhoor. But that's a part of the fast, have suhoor, even if it's just water. And then the other thing is that you may be fasting, feeling so good, you don't want to break your fast. But the obedience is you must break your fast. So
let's
even if it's just water, you must break your fast.
That's right.
So all of this is obedience. So no, you don't fast on the first day of Shawwal. You do not fast, and that is the EJ. And just want to say also, a part of this is that we have our traditions or our rituals that go along with the Eid itself, this recurring happiness. And a part of that is that we're giving zakat. And that zakat also contributes to the happiness of the less fortunate. So we have not given up remembering those who are less fortunate. So we have the duty to give zakatul fitr. And that zakatul fitr, some people call it e-tax, but that zakatul fitr is obligatory because of zakat, but it's also sadaqah because it's giving of your goodness, right? But during the time of our prophecies, the economy, it was food that they gave. So I know here in Atlanta, we have an amount of money that we give, and that money we then take to finance our celebrations, and it should be festive. It should be exciting for us. Some people are exchanging gifts. We give gifts to the children that people have donated,
yes,
and we give them a link.
Yes.
So it's a festive time for us as Muslims. So we use that zakat that we had to pay to make sure that the community has a wonderful celebration. And for some, it could be one day, or it could be 3 days. And in some places, it's 7 days. But at least do the first day. And also that money that we give as our zakat or our sadaqah, our charity, we also give it to families. That money is, I remember growing up when we were going to people's houses, giving them our sadaqah, our time, our gifts to them. And so just a reminder to all of us that it is a time for us to have the recurring happiness, and our souls are satisfied by it. And that this the Eid al-Fitr is the first of two Eids. And the second Eid, which is supposed to be the bigger Eid, is the Eid during the Hajj season. So this Eid that we have for Eid al-Fitr, though, is distinguished from Eid al-Adha, because for Eid al-Fitr, you are supposed to, before you go to the Eid prayer, there's an Eid salat that we go to. Before you go to the Eid prayer, you should eat something.
That's right. That's right.
And but for Eid al-Adha, you don't eat. So those
That's
are two
right.
of the differences that you'll have here, so that we can understand that this is a beautiful thing that we have. And I just like to remind us, since we are also offering programming, the Learning Lab, geared toward our marriages and geared toward our families, that we make sure that we make this a really festive time for our children, because we don't want them longing for what they see in the world. We have to give them what they need of the joy here. It's our duty to give that to them. So they should see us happy as we're fasting during the month of Ramadan, and happier as we break the fast during this Eid time, and we celebrate them, giving them gifts, making it festive for them. That should be a big part of what we do as we obey Allah and engage in this opportunity to get closer to Him and to get closer to our families and to our mates and to our communities, inshallah. And I know we have a hand up, and she's had her hand up for a minute now.
I think I might know who that is. Let's go.
Yes, you do. I think so. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
But you all be talking about Amir Muhammad Shaheed.
Well, most, I would have been disappointed there. Right? It would have been you. Oh, you know, always welcome to the Courtship and Marriage, a special edition of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab in this blessed time, the blessed Ramadan that we have experienced. And so you're always welcome. So I know you have something that you would like to give to our radio listening audience. So please.
First of all, I want to make Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you, Sister Tawan. You did a really great job in that overview. And Allah always bless you. You know, just really say things that really resonate, and you say it in such a professional way, you know, that you did. And I want to thank you and acknowledge you for that.
Alhamdulillah.
For me, it's this Ramadan has been so, it's been kind of awakening for me. You know, sometimes we don't do soul searching. We don't do soul searching. And mm-hmm. Allah allowed me to bring some clarity to some things that maybe I wasn't aware of. As I said, I wasn't aware of. And to be able to accept, see where I need to make changes at, you know. And Mark talked about four aspects of honesty, integrity, sincerity, and transparency, you know. That can cover in many, many, many areas, many aspects of life. And so I applied that to myself, you know. And, you know, you just be truthful. Just be truthful with yourself. That's when you can grow. That's when you can change, you know. And
absolutely.
He spoke about the truth and reality that comes from the Quran, because we've been reading, you know, we've been sitting in on the juices every morning. And mm-hmm. it's just really, you know, I haven't been reading. I've been listening. And that's the art to me, like you said, listening, you know. And I really got a lot out of, you know, just hearing someone else read. And as I read it, I applied what needed to be applied to my spirit so that I can become a better person. Because don't any of us know everything. We know some things. We don't know everything. And so
right.
We surrender our spirit to Allah. He will bless us. You know, he'll bless us. So that's what I got. That's just one of the aspects. You know, and I mentioned Tuesday. I mean, to Wednesday yesterday, the blessing that I got out of a conversation about my health, you know. And sometimes we think we, just because it's our body, we think we always know the best thing to do for it. But that is so far from the truth, you know. And sometimes we can be doing things thinking the best, and we're doing just, it'd be, the results would be just the opposite, you know, just opposite, because we may be injuring ourselves. But the conversation that I got Tuesday from the Rashid's program was so helpful. It was just so helpful, you know. So I can name, you know, a few things that Allah had blessed me with, but I won't take up a lot of time. I'm just so grateful, you know. I'm just so grateful, and I just want to keep an open mind and an open heart so I can receive. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Assalamualaikum.
Thank you so much.
Ramadan
Mubarak, dear heart. Very well said. You know, Quran, Mayor Muhammad Shahid expressed himself. And this is what, you know, all believers, if he, you know, chose not to just come on the air and say, you know, the benefits that you actually receive. But there's no way that you can actually fast in the month of Ramadan and be feasting on the Quran that you didn't receive something. You know, on another production, I think it was on last night, on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, you know, my family was Baptist, and they used to have an old spiritual hymn, and it went like, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself, or I couldn't keep it to myself. And then it goes on to say, what the Lord has done for me. So some of those old hymns, you know, the Imam W.D. Muhammad used to always talk about our honorable First Lady and mother of our community, and we know her as Sister Clara Muhammad, as sometimes she would sing and also hum some of those old hymns. And if we really listen to the lyrics, really listen to the words, they're so powerful. And so it made me think in this blessed month of Ramadan that the blessings are so great, as Surah 55, which is one of the favorite surahs of a lot of believers. Which of your favors will you deny? Or which are your blessings will you deny? Well, of course, if you conscious regard for your Lord and Creator who has given you these favors, these blessings, if you will, you won't deny any of them. And if you thought, I ain't going to say anything, well, it is actually the urging of your soul to have to say something when you have this experience out of all the different fasts that it's been known to man for different reasons. this is by far the best fast that we can actually have, because we are being obedient to our Lord and Creator, and at the same time, we are getting guidance, and we are also getting a criteria to be able to make the distinction between right and wrong, good and bad. This is truly, truly a blessing, and Karen, I'm so glad that you mentioned in terms of culminating, you know, with a big celebration, rightfully so. It has to be special for our children, our young people, our youth, because oftentimes they want to experience the fast. And oftentimes we don't have to ask them. They'll ask us, Mommy, Daddy, can I fast too, depending on the age and stage where they are? Just a willingness to want to do that. But to see at the very end, you understand, that this happiness is shared with them, and making this special, but let them know that we have special days and that gifts that will be coming to them, and there will be fun for them in the celebration at the end of this. And as they grow more, they'll be able, the capacity to know more. Knowing is growing. And so as they're having fun and enjoying themselves during the blessed month of Ramadan, that communication that we've had on the Sister Learning Lab in terms of educating our children in regards to this blessed month of Ramadan, all what it entails and how they can actually benefit from it. And as they grow, it grows up with them and in them. So this is truly a blessed month. We should make it special. In speaking to our resident imam here, Imam Jihad Mukman, he says, well, you know, this is the bigger celebration. I says, yes, but that means you got a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do for Eid al-Adha, because it is the bigger, it is the brighter. And we have to, I suggested to him that he start early. There's actually 90 days from the beginning of the blessed month of Ramadan and Dhul Hijjah. You know, Ramadan is the ninth month. Dhul Hijjah is the 12th month. It actually is the end of the year, but the first 10 days, that's when the Hajj takes place. Yeah, I don't have time to go into that, but it's very significant in 90 days from the beginning of Ramadan to 90 days before the Hajj actually takes place. And all the very rites of the Hajj, its significance, its social significance, as the Hajj being the fifth pillar, it actually incorporates the other four pillars. And out of that, how it is structured is that what it is that we have gained in this blessed month of Ramadan, so that you may learn self-discipline, that you may learn self-restraint, self-control, you're going to need that. Those who have made Hajj, they will bear witness to what it is that I'm saying to them. But also, it is the bigger and the brighter Eid. And we also have to keep, have that type of spirit, educating ourselves so that we can educate our children in regards to that. And then that could be a long-term goal, as the fulfillment of that, it only has to be done once in a lifetime. You know, Quran, in ending, you know, our religion is so very beautiful. When we look at these five pillars and we look at time, we look at there as one pillar that we do on a daily basis. That's the Salat, you know, and there is in that same pillar, we have a particular Salat that we do on a weekly basis, and also one of the pillars that most of us do on a weekly basis, that is zakat. And then there's one of the pillars that we do in a month's period of time, and we're just about to conclude that, and that is siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan, you know. And there is, and that's done once a year. That particular is once a year. And also in terms of a lifetime, It is Hajj. It's Hajj, which is the fifth pillar, once in a lifetime. But also, and maybe you might have thought I forgot, but the first one is the Shahadatain Tawheed. It only has to be once in a lifetime, and that's the beginning, and it's the center pole of all the other four pillars that uphold the life for the human being. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience here on IWDM Radio to take time out. We're going to be looking forward to some great things after Ramadan starting next week on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We're going to keep it a secret, and Karen and I are going to talk about it off air and everything. But we do want you to continue to listen, and we will be returning to our regular time next week. Matter of fact, Karen, please give our radio listeners the information in terms of how they can get in touch with us. And we really love to hear some feedback from them in terms of potential topics that they would like to hear. Karen?
Most definitely. So please email us your potential topics to bringintothelab@gmail.com. And while I have the mic, I'm just going to go ahead and thank you all for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, to our special program. And as Brother Mark said, next week we'll be back at our regular time. And I'm going to let him give you that in just a moment. But I also want you to, if you find what we're saying and doing beneficial, then please, on our social media, acknowledge. So on our Facebook, if you're not already liking us, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. We are Bring It to the Lab. But also comment on our post, because that also boosts our numbers for us and gets us circulated more. That's the algorithm that's working there. So alhamdulillah, we look forward to next week when we'll be back at our regular time. And we say to you for the last time, Ramadan Mubarak, until next year. And we'll just go ahead and do an early Eid Mubarak to you. Back to you, Mark.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Very well said. Thank you so much. I want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in to the special edition of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and the conclusion of our theme this year, how the blessed month of Ramadan can positively impact, influence the sacred institution of marriage and those who have been inspired and aspiring to be married. And we want to thank Karen Shakir always for the insight and wisdom that she shares each and every Thursday here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Really, really appreciate her and everything. And, of course, we want to, as Karen just said, to join us back next week. The beat goes on quickly here as we run down the rest of the schedule here. Tomorrow is Salatul Jumu'ah day, and it may also, a strong possibility, that it probability, I should say, that it will be Eid al-Fitr day. Oh, what a blessing. It's like a double helping. Blessed Jumu'ah and also a reoccurring happiness on returning to the original nature, the victory. This is a victorious thing for us and everything, so really join in the festivities. Salatul Jumu'ah, as always, it is a salat that replaces a farz salat, but it is a salat that cannot, I repeat, cannot be replaced. Here, if you're immobilized, can't get out and about, come back. IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, starts at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And Saturday, we will do the last of the MGM Roundtable. We're going to have a special guest, so you want to tune in. And we will be talking about the end of Ramadan. And we'll be talking about later Takata. And we also will be talking about Eid al-Fitr in the conclusion of this blessed month of Ramadan. So you want to tune in for that. That will be a special edition and the last edition on Saturday. It will happen at 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time this Saturday and this Saturday only in the finale. The longest-running production is Words Make People with Imam Mikhail Sayer. It's each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, the beginning of the week. 6 weeks in, my good brother and friend Imam Nazim Pasha, he hosts a production called ABC, Not As Easy As 1, 2, 3 by the Jacksons. It is Al-Islam-based conversation. And you know the best way to have a conversation is with somebody else other than that. It's just a monologue. So please inform your family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, community members. Join in on that conversation, Al-Islam-based conversation. It will start at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. It will return to its regular normal schedule in terms of two-hour production, so please tune in for that. Tuesday, the very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam and his often returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shahid, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Please tune in. It returns to its regular schedule at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, and yours truly, Mark Shahid. The Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, it returns back to its regular time at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Please tune in for that. And you just heard it live with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Quran Shakir and Mark Shahid. So it will be returning back to its regular time, which will be 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. I think we're going to have some really exciting, but also some very informative and educational productions that will be coming up on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So please tune in. And we, last but not least, please keep your subscription, which can be a prescription. The Muslim Journal has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. And so if you're thinking about an e-gift, you might want to consider giving a subscription to a family member, a friend, a colleague, or maybe a neighbor or member in your community, or maybe a pioneer or your local library. Think about that, as many e-gifts will be given in exchange this weekend. The Muslim Journal would make an excellent e-gift. So, Quran, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak wa